Have you ever experienced a time of significant loss? How did it affect your worship of God? Is it possible to worship God even when He takes everything away from us? This is the question facing us in the book of Job. The test case will be the godly man Job himself. He will be God's Exhibit A in answering that question. Stephen continues the wisdom journey today by looking in Job chapter 1. He's called this lesson Exhibit A. Here's Stephen.
D.L. Moody was a faithful American evangelist from the late 1800s, and he once said this, "I believe Satan exists for two reasons. First, because the Bible says so. And secondly, because I've done business with him. That is, I've battled him." And frankly, so has every Christian to this day. Now, don't misunderstand. The powers of hell and the powers of heaven are not on equal footing. This is not a battle between two equally strong forces, and we're sort of, you know, biting our nails to see who's going to win. Now, God has already won from eternity past. The devil just doesn't want to concede without a fight. So while the war has been won, there are daily skirmishes. And we're told that Satan is like a lion prowling around the earth. He's seeking someone to devour or discredit, 1 Peter 5:8. And what Satan despises most of all is a believer who will worship and trust God with his life. Charles Spurgeon, the famous 19th century pastor in England, wrote that Satan hates to see happy Christians glorifying God. He is well aware that mournful Christians often dishonor God by mistrusting him. So if he can worry us until we no longer believe in the goodness of God, he will have robbed God of his praise. Is that really Satan's chief delight? Well, for the first time in recorded scripture, the curtain is pulled back in the heavens, and we get to hear a conversation between God and Satan regarding the faithful life of Job, and we discover that that is indeed what Satan wants to do, destroy a worshiping believer's life. Well, God is about to give Satan permission to attack everything Job has in life. God is going to turn Job's life into what we could call Exhibit A, that is, evidence that it's possible for a believer to worship God through tears and trials. Now, Job doesn't know that just yet. This conversation is unknown to him. Well, let's take a look at that conversation between God and Satan. It takes place here in chapter 1 and verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Now stop for a moment here. This expression, sons of God, can refer to angels. It doesn't mean God procreated them. It means God created them. From his hand they came. Job chapter 38 will refer again to angels as sons of God. Well, here the angels are called to give an account of their activity. They're accountable to God, and they've been sent out on mission, and Satan happens to be among them. Now, if you've been led to believe that Satan doesn't have access to God because God can't be in the presence of sin, you've been misinformed. First, consider the fact that there is no place that God is not present. He is, theologians say, omnipresent. He's present everywhere. And second, Revelation chapter 12 will tell us that Satan actually accuses the believer before God day and night. In fact, this is what Satan is doing to this very day. You ever thought about the fact that he goes to God and accuses you before God? And then he comes around and he accuses God before you. Satan goes to God and tells God, "Well, you're not worth keeping." And then Satan comes to you and says, "God isn't worth following." Satan reminds God that you're sinful. And then he reminds you that God is silent. He whispers, as it were, in God's ear that you are unfaithful to him. And then he comes and whispers in your ear that God is unfaithful to you. The name Satan actually refers to this kind of activity. It means adversary. You could even render it prosecutor. His chief objective is to accuse and prosecute. And let me tell you, he is not make-believe. He isn't a funny little cartoon character in a red suit with a pointy tail and a pitchfork. He was created by God as a member of the cherubim class of angels. That's the highest order given to us in Scripture. He is both physically attractive and evil. He's stunning, but he's destructive. And he happens to hate you. He hates the God to whom you belong through Jesus Christ, who conquered him. Well, let's go back to this conversation now here in verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." By the way, God isn't asking Satan where he's been because God lost sight of him. You know, Satan dropped off his radar. No, God knows exactly where Satan has been, but Satan doesn't want to admit it. The Hebrew verbs here inform us that Satan has actually been analyzing someone. He's been watching someone. He's been probing around for weaknesses. So the Lord becomes more direct here in verse 8. "Have you considered my servant Job?" Literally, "Have you set your heart on my servant Job?" See, God effectively says, "I know you've been watching Job, my faithful servant. You would love to have an opportunity to destroy his testimony, wouldn't you?" By the way, I want you to notice here that Satan can't touch Job without God's permission. He can't touch you either, apart from God's plan for your life. Well, Satan, the prosecutor, now kind of smarts off here to God in verse 9 and says, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side?" Verse 11, "But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." So this is Satan's argument here. God, of course Job follows you because you're paying him off. It's working well for him. You know, it makes me wonder, if Satan were making this accusation against you or me today, that the only reason we love God is because, well, Christianity's been a good deal for us, would he be right? Well, maybe you'd say in your mind right now, "Well, I'm not that way." Well, what happens when Christianity doesn't seem to pay off? What happens to your trust in the Lord when you're in the hospital? What happens to your prayer life in the emergency room or in the bankruptcy court or out there beside some grave marker? Imagine, Job has no idea this conversation is taking place in heaven. And don't miss this here, that this is really an attack, not just on Job, but really an attack on God. One author said this, "Satan is saying, you're not a God worthy of worship. You've got to pay people off to honor you." You know what that is? That's bribery. Well, if I were God, Satan would be reduced to a pile of ashes right now. But instead, God responds here in verse 12. "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, somebody might be thinking here, "Oh my, God's going to take a big risk here. What if Job fails?" This is a reckless move on God's part. Well, let me tell you, beloved, contrary to what you might read today, God is not reckless. He's never risked anything. How do you risk something when you know the future? In fact, what are you reckless about when you have already planned this out moment by moment from eternity past? See, Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not all-knowing. He doesn't know what Job will do. Well, maybe God will lose this little bet. Well, it isn't a bet because God knows exactly what's going to happen. And let me tell you, God is going to play Satan like a puppet on a string. And he's going to do it to fulfill his purposes. And get this here. God is not entering Job into untold suffering you know, just so Job can grow and trust. No, God is doing this to Job for you. He's going to give human history an inspired record of one man who will become, throughout time, Exhibit A, evidence that it's possible to worship and trust God in the midst of unbelievable suffering. Do you want to be encouraged today? Well, why don't you remind yourself of Job and how Satan was defeated by this one man who refused to dishonor God? Well, let me summarize what we've learned about our enemy from this conversation in heaven thus far. Number one, Satan is loose, but he's on a leash, and that leash is held by the hand of God. Number two, Satan is brilliant, but he's not omniscient. He doesn't know the future like God does. Number three, Satan is unable to act without permission from God. Number four, Satan's power is limited by the purposes of God and the purposes God has for your life today. And number five, Satan suffers a crushing defeat whenever a believer, like you and me, whenever we continue to worship God, even through tears. Well, I'm praying that that will be your testimony, your experience today. Well, until our next journey together, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Stephen called this lesson Exhibit A, and that's exactly what Job was. May we follow his example today. We'll continue through Job on our next broadcast. In the meantime, we'd appreciate receiving your thoughts, opinions, and ideas regarding this wisdom journey. Email us at info@wisdomonline.org. We'd be glad to hear from you. Again, that's info@wisdomonline.org. Be ready to travel along with us next time on the Wisdom Journey.